Signs of life in the global IPO market are spurring investor optimism that more companies will decide to go public. But after nearly 2 years of stagnant activity, is the recent spate of deals a flash in the pan or indicative of a longer-term revival?
I would say we're having a soft opening of the IPO market. We've never really expected the market to be fast opening over the end of 23. That's more likely to happen in 2024. We're in a good spot to see the markets continue to open a little bit more broadly as we move through the next couple months and quarters.
I'm Allison Nathan, and this is Goldman Sachs Exchanges. To help break down the dynamics in the IPO market, as well as company and investor sentiment, I'm sitting down with David Ludwig, Goldman Sachs' Global Head of Equity Capital Markets. David, welcome back to the program.
Allison, it's great to be here.
So, David, a few high-profile technology companies have gone public in recent weeks. So the big question is the IPO market finally back?
I would say we're having a soft opening of the IPO market. I think it's clear from the last handful of transactions that high-quality companies have very efficient access to the capital markets. We're seeing better valuations. Part of that's the overall market. We're seeing high-quality shareholders come into these transactions and support companies in the aftermarket. I think that's very powerful to me as I look at it. We've never really expected the market to be fast opening over the end of 23. That's more likely to happen in 2024. But overall, I'm actually very positive about how these first handful of IPOs went, especially in a market that's become more volatile over the last handful of weeks. When you kind of look at the performance of the NASDAQ since Labor Day or the S&P since Labor Day, both down 3 to 5%, which naturally makes investors a little bit more patient. But for us to be able to price these deals where they're pricing above their ranges, for them to be trading, you know, around issue price, if not better, I think that kind of tells us we're in a good spot to see the markets continue to open a little bit more broadly as we move through the next couple months and quarters.
And so how would you characterize investor confidence at this point?
So I think investor confidence has definitely been improving over the course of the year. Investors were probably improperly positioned for a recession at the beginning of this year. I think as you got more confident in a soft landing, which has been the Goldman Sachs call for some period of time, you saw significantly more risk getting added to their portfolios, especially in and around some of the growth sectors. I think that's been very positive for the IPO business, given a large portion of the IPOs happen to be in sectors that need capital for growth. What's happened over the course of the last few weeks is that there may have been overpositioning. And as you kind of see inflation running hot, concerns about where rates are going, what the Fed is going to do, some of that risk has been pulled back off. But we still have been able to get these IPOs done because there are enough investors that want to add high quality companies to their portfolios that when they see a high quality company come to the public markets, they really want to engage.
And what about companies' willingness to go public in the current macro environment? You've mentioned the volatility. We just had another Fed meeting where the key takeaways seem to be higher for longer. So what is company sentiment like right now?
So I think as the market continues to stabilize and volatility subsides and price dynamics on deals, whether it be private or public, are beginning to improve with better shareholders, I think a lot of companies, a lot of sellers are definitely thinking about the capital markets more urgently and more broadly right now. And I think that's constructive to us. I think the other piece that's very constructive is that we're seeing shareholders or potential shareholders really engaging with companies more aggressively, more actively, whether they be near-term issuing candidates or longer-term candidates. They just want to start getting to know right now because I think they're all actively considering, if I'm going to be adding risk to my portfolio, what are the types of companies and assets I want to put in the portfolio right now? So I think those two pieces are what allows us to get to better equilibrium to see transactions occur on a more consistent basis. Now, as I think I mentioned before, we're not at the time in the market where we're going to see that broad-based, widespread opening that any company can get public under attractive terms at this point. I think that that's going to slowly happen as we move our way through the course of the year and much more wide as we move into 24. Now, we need the overall markets to cooperate with us. I think that's going to happen, and we're watching that happen. It's not going to be linear. But I think we're very excited for the opportunity for companies to get access to private and public market capital as we move forward and investors to be able to invest in some really great companies over the course of the next handful of quarters as well.
But the share prices of many companies that did go public in 2020, 2021, when the IPO market was wide open, they're still trading below their debut prices. So why is that? And is that still an overhang to sentiment?
So I think a lot of people ask me this question. I personally think it's irrelevant in a way because we had a seismic shift in where the markets were. So we're dealing with in 2021, where just there was tons of liquidity coming from the government, whether it be monetary, fiscal stimulus, both with negative real interest rates, negative 1%, if not a little bit less than that. And that just leads to outsized valuation. It leads to outsized access to capital. There's really no other place to put money to work aside from equities. And so valuations across almost every sector, whether it be growth sectors or more mature sectors, just went through the roof, and companies took advantage of that. And so whether they be in the private markets where companies raised significant capital, extended their runways, or public markets where companies were able to raise capital at very attractive valuations, even if that capital is not needed by the companies, just very opportunistic, it just created a whole new paradigm that we haven't seen in some period of time. And so all the companies that went public, some of them have been great companies in the public markets from an execution perspective. Some of them may have been a little bit too early to be in the public markets. They took advantage of that. And then the world changed in November of 2021 when the Fed decided that they had to really fight inflation aggressively and raise interest rates. And valuation across all sectors just went down aggressively. So it's very hard to say, because IPOs are below their issue price, that that's going to be a headwind for other IPOs. Because it really has to be looked at on a relative basis versus the sectors that they're in. And to be fair, some IPOs have still underperformed their public peers in the sector from valuation. But I think that was just really the market we were in then versus kind of the IPO asset class.
Do you think it's fair to say that that environment in 2021 in particular, it's just not going to be repeated? We need to leave it in the past.
I don't believe the environment that we saw in 20 and 21 is going to be repeated. I hope it's not going to be repeated from a human and social perspective, given what we all went through. Now, I didn't think that we were going to have an environment that was going to be better than what we saw in 1999 and 2000 from an IPO perspective. Then we had a great environment in 2006, 2007. And then we saw what happened in 2013, 2014, especially in tech, which was pretty powerful as well, at least at the end of 13, beginning of 14. And then we had this environment. So the world cycles. There's going to be a point in time where rates are getting cut. You're going to see more money going to growth. Investors are going to be willing to invest in companies that aren't profitable, very close to profitability. They're going to extend. I think this is just the world we live in. Now, do I think it's going to get to these levels that we got to in 2021? Probably not. I'm never going to say never, because things ultimately do change, but we're not planning for that or budgeting for that anytime soon. But we are making sure that we're staying in front of investing community to understand what they're looking to invest in, and also making sure that our client base from an issuing perspective is staying nimble to the extent the markets change, and the best way for them to achieve their objectives, maybe in the public markets relative to the private markets.
So let's talk a little bit more about private markets. During the last couple of years, private companies have increasingly turned to other alternatives to raise capital. So talk to us a little bit more about that trend.
Absolutely. So first thing I'd say is I love the fact that companies have more alternatives to execute against their business plans, whether it be staying private for longer, going public in different ways. I think that's awesome because different paths are better for different companies. I also think that the expansion of private, different types of private capital, I think have also been very good for that private alternative and private alternative in different market environments. Because I think, as we talked about before, in 20 and 21, access to capital in the private markets was abundant, to say the least, and it was coming at great valuations and very little impact on, you know, how you have to run your business and governance. And I think a lot of companies took advantage of that, where they raised a lot of capital that gave them a lot of runway. It also didn't have them operate with discipline. Now, when the world's changed, it got very difficult to continue raising capital under those guidelines. Now, some of the companies use the different forms of private capital to help them fund their operations, give employees liquidity, and that may come in more structured securities. They may, whether it be debt, convertible preferred, other ways to do it. And so I think it's good that those broader forms of capital are there. Others said, I'm not going to take capital. I'm actually going to create more discipline in my business, and I'm going to extend my runway by actually becoming more lean and changing my operating profile. And I think a lot of those companies that did that are actually going to become better public companies down the road, because I think they're actually just now better businesses as we move forward. But what's constructive to me now, just like the overall markets have begun to trade better, we're actually beginning to see more discussions about true price rounds, which were very difficult over the course of the last 12 to 18 months, when it was hard to find that equilibrium between where companies thought they were worth and what investors thought they were worth. We're now actually beginning to find that a little bit more. It's not the majority of situations that are in. There's still a lot of structured discussions that need to be happening in this market, but it's beginning to be more in the dialogue. And I think we like seeing that, because it just means that equilibrium is being found.
And we recently spoke with Jim Esposito. Jim, as you know, our co-head of Global Banking and Markets, about some of the challenges facing private equity sponsors, which includes the difficulty of monetizing portfolio companies in what we've been discussing, what has been a lackluster IPO environment. So could we see more sponsored-backed IPOs?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that IPOs always have to be a part of the toolkit for them to get liquidity for their portfolio companies. And so I think in almost every situation where we're with a sponsor, there's going to be a discussion about, do I take this company public and monetize over time? Or do I potentially think about selling the company up front and obviously getting more of my proceeds in the near term? And what's the trade-off between my MOIC, my IRR? What's the risk going forward? They obviously think about what's best for the company, its operations, and all of its employees as well. And clearly, it's been a difficult time to get liquidity, both in terms of IPOs. It's also been harder to sell companies right now, too. But I think that dynamic's beginning to change as we see the IPO market open up. We've just had two relatively successful, large, high-yield bond offerings. Hopefully, that market will be able to begin to thaw as well as we kind of move ourselves throughout the end of the year and into 2024. And if that opens up paths for the sponsors to get liquidity in the way that's best for them and best for their companies, I think that's something that's exciting. Because as I said, we like when our clients have multiple options, because I think that ultimately drives the best outcomes for them.
We've mostly been talking about U.S. capital markets in this conversation, David, but what do the trends in EMEA and Asia Pacific look like?
So I think each of the regions are all on better trajectories. They're on different trajectories, but they're better trajectories. So EMEA, we've been seeing selected IPOs and people are monitoring the market, and we have a good backlog in EMEA. We're all seeing selected monetizations, just like we're seeing in the U.S. Whenever a window appears, our client base wants to try to get access to kind of either raise primary capital or get liquidity for their constituencies. But it's definitely slower than what we've seen in the U.S. from a recovery perspective. Asia is a little bit of a different story because you have to bifurcate. So Japan has been really hot relative to what we've seen in the past. So I think issuance is up four times or so in Japan. We expect more to come, and that's been across products. Asia ex-Japan has been a tad slower. You know, some of that's because of the macroeconomic situation, especially in China right now. But I think there's beginning to see some excitement, some green shoots about some of the policy measures that the Chinese government's putting in place. Not enough to see a significant amount of risk getting added by the investing community, which I think will lead to more issuance in China. But I think people are pretty happy about what they're beginning to see there. And then India, I think, has been a market that's probably performed better than most of the other markets. And we've definitely seen the benefits of that, especially on the monetization front, a little bit less on the IPO front, but we do feel very good about some of the opportunities to come.
And so we've been talking about this, again, soft opening, gradual, but how would you really characterize what you think we'll see from here into the end of the year and 2024?
Never have a crystal ball on what the markets are going to do, because the markets are always going to be the key driver of ECM activity and IPO activity in particular. But we have a really large backlog across regions, across sectors, across products. I think part of the reason we have a large backlog is because we didn't take anything out of backlog for the last 12 to 18 months. But we do think that based on what we're seeing in the markets overall from a trend line perspective, as I said before, I don't think it'll be linear. There'll be pockets of strength, pockets of weakness. But I think overall, we're heading in the right direction. That over the rest of the year, we're going to see some very high quality companies come public. We're going to see other companies and shareholders be able to do some things in the public markets during those windows of strength. And 24 is going to be the year when we really see things broaden out across regions and across sectors for companies that have access to the public markets that we believe they deserve.
Last question, what would derail that optimism?
So I think the biggest focus is really on the macroeconomic environment, to some extent, the geopolitical environment. And so I think if the economy continues to run very hot, some folks in the U.S., also globally, that if policymakers have to continue raising rates, which obviously not good for equities, and obviously could create some concern about a delayed recession versus where we stand right now, I think that could definitely slow down issuance in the capital markets. I think investors just pull risk out of the equity markets in general. You know, geopolitically, there are clearly a number of areas that we're focused on, whether it be Russia, Ukraine, U.S. relations, some other areas as well. Hopefully those kind of stay stable to improving. But you know, if things are kind of on the course it feels like they're on right now, I think we feel pretty good that 24 is going to be a better year, both for our issuing clients and our investing clients.
David, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Goldman Sachs Exchanges, recorded on Thursday, September 21st, 2023. If you enjoyed the show, we hope you follow on your platform of choice and tune in next week for another episode. Make sure to share and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. The opinions and views expressed in this program are not necessarily the opinions of Goldman Sachs or its affiliates. This program should not be copied or published without the express written consent of Goldman Sachs. Each brand mentioned in this program is the property of the company to which it relates and is not used to imply any ownership or license rights. Goldman Sachs is not providing any financial, economic, legal, investment, accounting, or tax advice through this program. Neither Goldman Sachs nor any of its affiliates makes any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of any information contained in this program.